Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Show on Atlanta Sports Station, The Fan, 680 and 93.7. We are broadcasting from our studios here at the Battery Atlanta, and it's the quiet before the storm. No, but it's going to be a hot, clear day, but the Dodgers are showing up. Freddie Freeman's back in town, and it's going to be three games of a packed house at Truett Park. It's going to be awesome. And so is the show today, too. We've got a full staff after the short staff yesterday. We've got Road Dog, our producer, in the house. Nerney, our engineer. Acock, our intern. And a special appearance out of Jordan D'Armond. Jordan, great to have you in today. Girl, what's going on?
As always, it's always good to be in with you on Fridays, Buck.
You got your Braves road gray jersey on. You're ready to go.
I'm ready. We're taking down the Dodgers.
We made it to Friday. The weekend is almost here. And really is. Today when I showed up, the battery really quiet. And it won't be quiet later today. I'm expecting to see a standing ovation in the first inning of the ball game. Top of the first. And I was saying, Jordan, I wanted to run this by you before we get started here today. I came up with this earlier this week. I was encouraging Braves fans to give Freddie Freeman a standing ovation he'll never forget in the top of the first inning tonight.
That has to happen.
And then in the bottom of the first inning, here's the twist. I would love to see this packed house of Braves fans give Olson a standing ovation in the bottom of the first inning.
That would be nice. Full circle.
That would be wonderful. Sweet is what that would be as we turn the page on Freddie Freeman here in Atlanta. All right, big show plan. Let's get to the big take.
Bucks big take.
Well, the big news came down yesterday. Had some people around here saying, hook 'em horns in the Bulldog Nation. Well, the dog fans weren't saying that, but the anti-dog people were saying, hook 'em horns. When the news came down, Texas is the big winner in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. And you know what? I believe it's a good fit for Arch. Let me count the ways. Number one, Sarkisian's offensive scheme will help develop Arch into a pro-caliber player by the end of his days at Texas. Because Sarkisian and Texas will lead with the passing game. Number two, Arch has a shot to help revive a once proud program and win big, which would make him legendary at UT, as they call it. I mean, here's a guy that blazes his own trail.
Are big and bright.
Number three,
deep in the heart,
I hear the campus is amazing.
The prairie sky.
Not that Georgia is chopped liver. I'm not saying that at all.
Deep in the heart of
Number four, once Arch settles in and becomes the starter in a couple of years, the NIL money is going to be epic. And I was talking with an insider yesterday, and no, it's not the same source that told me that Georgia was a lock to get Arch. This is a different insider. Told me that, number one, Arch is not obsessed with playing as a freshman. He's not obsessed or fixated with playing his first 2 years on campus. He's not one of these guys that says, I want to play immediately. And then the insider also told me the Manning family and Arch are not obsessed with the NIL money coming into school. That he wants to get on campus and earn his way
before they start cashing those checks. You know, try to be a team player that we don't see a lot of these days. Bottom line, as I see it, Texas and Arch appear to be a really good fit. And we'll have more on Georgia's quarterback situation a little later in the show. So there you go. That's my big take. You know, at Alabama, what's the negative at Alabama? Well, Saban, I think, is like 74. So is he really going to be there? I would have to wonder that if I was Arch. Is he going to be there 4 or 5 years? Might be a coaching change in there somewhere. And then at Georgia, you know, not exactly leading with the passing game. And some of the quarterback room's loaded. But reason to, you know, have a doubt or two on how that would go. Let's go to the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line and bring on South Carolina Gamecock head coach Shane Beamer. Joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Glad you found some time for us, Coach. We appreciate it. Has it been a busy summer for you so far?
Yeah, really busy. June, these first few weeks are really crazy. So we've had recruits on campus throughout. We've had an official visit weekend with 13 young men and their families. We've got another one that starts up here this afternoon, an official visit weekend. I think we've got 11 guys and their families coming in, camps, our own summer workouts for our team. And then just yesterday and today, we've got a 7-on-7 and offensive lineman, defensive lineman camp going on. So we got about 20 high school teams here. So, yes, it's a busy time, but appreciate y'all having me on.
Shane, what's been different about year number two as you get year number two started, comparing it to the first year?
I think a lot. For one, you know, our team understands the coaching staff and myself better. We know each other better. And, you know, I understand our players and have gotten and know them better and what makes them tick and their goals and challenges and whatnot. So it's just knowing your team better. And then it's the second time that we're doing everything. You know, last year at this time, we hadn't been through a preseason training camp together. We hadn't been through a season together, a win, a loss, all that. So everything now, it's the second time through. And we're not staying status quo. We got new players, and we're always trying to find ways to get better and be different. But there's a more of a sense of just understanding what's going on. And then for me personally, it's just being able to, now that it is the second time through, you know, being able to look back at the things that we did last season. I'm spending a lot of time, you know, I just finished putting together all of our preseason training camp practices, every period down to the minute, what everyone's doing and daily and meeting schedules and being able to look back at my notes from last August and see the things that we liked, we didn't like, issues that came up. You can refer to it, and it certainly makes it a little bit smoother doing it the second time around because of things like that.
You kept your staff intact too, pretty much everybody back. How important is that?
Really good. It's really, really important and really good that we were able to do that. Just the continuity within our own building and our players, you know, having the same coach for another year. And then in recruiting as well, you know, the same coaches are going into the high schools for a second year around, and they have an understanding of the high schools that they're going into and the people in those schools. And that was one of the reasons, you know, my dad had so much success for so long. There were a lot of different reasons, but one of the biggest, I would say, is that he just kept his coaching staff intact year after year. And he had a few guys leave occasionally for better opportunities, head coaching jobs or NFL or whatever it may be, but he was able to keep the bulk of it intact. And I saw that firsthand, and I want to be able to do that here at South Carolina. Thankful that our administration here allowed us the opportunity to do that. And we want to make this a great place to live and work and coach. And I feel like we have, and it's exciting to have the bulk of our staff back year two. And we've added some pieces to it, but I'm really excited about the staff that we've added. And we're in a much better place than we were last year at this time, without a doubt.
Really impressive year number one last season. What did you learn about this team, the changeover from a year ago to this year, back during the spring?
Just that they're still very hungry. You know, it's a group. We returned a lot of guys off last year's team. We lost some key players, there's no doubt. But we return a lot of really, really good players, and we return a lot of depth as well. And coming off the season that we had, we finished strong, obviously, winning three out of our last five and beating Auburn, beating Florida, beating North Carolina convincingly in the bowl game was a great way to finish. And then with all the excitement, adding some new players to our program, the recruiting success, the anticipation going into 2022, you're always, as a coach, you know, very cognizant of making sure that there's no complacency setting in or anybody thinking that we've arrived or anything like that, because there is more excitement and there's a lot more energy around South Carolina football than there was last year at this time. And I've seen no signs of that. Our players are very hungry. They're not satisfied just winning seven games. They have higher expectations and higher goals than that. And they've been very, very workmanlike, very businesslike since we came back in January and throughout spring practice. And same thing that's is going on right now in our summer workouts down in the weight room.
Coach, how is the new quarterback Spencer Rattler transitioning into the program? And what are your expectations for him?
Yeah, he's done really well, Buck. He's been a great addition to our team. I obviously was with him at Oklahoma, so I know what Spencer's about. And he came in January, and that's not an easy situation to come into. I mean, you're a starting quarterback that's won a conference championship, and you've won a Cotton Bowl, and then all of a sudden you go into last year, you're a Heisman candidate and supposed to be a first-round draft pick, and the year doesn't go the way you want, and at the end of the year you transfer and you start somewhere else. That's not an easy situation for him to come into. He did a great job handling it when he got here, just coming in, being himself, and earning the respect of his teammates. Our team did a great job of welcoming Spencer and the other new arrivals that we had here. Spring practice was very good for him, and I feel like he's really done a great job this summer. He's come back, and he understands this team better, and the team understands him, and he's taken on much more of a leadership role. This summer, he's down in Louisiana, I guess, at the Manning Passing Academy right now, and I've gotten some great reports from him down there, just the way that he's handling himself on and off the field, and that's awesome to hear. And just expect him to just go be himself. I mean, we don't have any expectations other than that. We have high expectations for him, but just go be you, Spencer, and that's plenty good enough, and continue to be the great player and great person that he is.
Coach, what about Marshawn Lloyd? Chance he breaks out this season?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, Marshawn's a guy that he will give you every bit of effort that he's got. And he was certainly highly recruited coming out of high school. He's been, you know, his first year he was injured. Second year, I don't know if he was ever 100% healthy, you know, throughout the year. And I think he finally is now. He's a guy that since he came back in January, he has definitely taken another step. He looks faster. He looks more explosive. He looks like the guy that everyone recruited coming out of high school. And football is very important to him. He's worked really hard to put himself in position to have a great year. And I'm optimistic and hopeful that he will.
You got a chance to, looks like to me, be really good on offense. Got the offensive line back, running back duo. Looks like you got a good 1-2 punch there. Josh Van back at receiver. You got all the elements of putting it together on offense.
Yeah, we got a chance. And, you know, obviously we got to stay healthy. And that's one thing we didn't do last year. We started three different quarterbacks, or four different quarterbacks, really, because of injury. And that's hard to have any continuity and success when you're doing that. Not to mention we lost a starting receiver in early October. We lost our starting right tackle in late September. So we had some injuries, and we've got to stay healthy. But you're right. We've got a lot of really good players coming back. We've added some really good players to the offense through the transfer portal and high school recruiting. And then we've got just so much depth coming back. It's an older group. It really is. And we've got some good young players. We've got some proven guys coming back. And the thing that I'm excited about is just we have more depth than we had last year at this time. We've got more depth at all the positions you just named, and there's more balls to go around. Now, we've got to do a great job as coaches of, you know, putting together a system that accentuates all of those guys and finds ways to spread that ball around and give us a chance to be successful. But I'm excited about the group, and I think the group is really excited about it as well.
Coach, I see these Gamecock stickers on cars around Atlanta. I'm saying, Coach Beamer and his staff are working the city of Atlanta today. What about this recruiting base and how important it is for you guys?
It's huge. You know, it's no secret. I'm not saying anything that isn't a fact, but we live in a smaller state here in the state of South Carolina. We don't have the population of other states, and that's not a negative, but we've got to do a great job of attacking the surrounding states, and we always have, and we will continue to. There's great players in South Carolina. We're always going to start in South Carolina. We've had great success with players from South Carolina: Jadeveon Clowney, Stephon Gilmore, Alshon Jeffrey, DJ Swearinger, Marcus Lattimore, Debo Samuel, on and on and on. But we've got to be able to go into North Carolina. We've got to be able to go into Georgia, and we always have. You know, Connor Shaw, the all-time winningest quarterback at South Carolina, is a Georgia native, as you know, from up in Flowery Branch. And there's great high school football there in Georgia, and in that Atlanta area, there's great coaching. And we're a program that's right down I-20 or right down Interstate 85, depending on what direction you're coming from. And it's an easy place to get to with fantastic academics and big-time SEC football. So we have a lot to offer young men over there. And we've talked about recruiting and coaching staff. We got a lot of coaches with ties to the state of Georgia and that have always recruited that, and that'll continue to be a major area for us.
Coach, I think you're ready for SEC Media Days coming up next month.
I'll get there. It's been a whirlwind this month, but going to take a little bit of time to catch our breath and prepare for Media Days over there in Atlanta, but can't wait to get there and hope to see you there next month as well.
Coach, thanks for your time today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend. Go Gamecocks.
South Carolina head coach Shane Beamer talking Gamecock football here on the Belew Show. Yeah, he's ready. He is in midseason form as it relates to dealing with the media. And we've got SEC Media Days coming up in about a month. And that's going to be a one-year anniversary for this Buck Belew Show. It got underway last year. First week, the first day was at SEC Media Days, Road Dog. Remember that? We're coming up on the one-year anniversary. And I want to thank you for listening to the show here on 680 The Fan. We appreciate it. All right, coming up next, the Dodgers are bringing some hot bats into town. We'll talk about that. And are there reasons to be concerned about the Braves and Dansby Swanson? Talk about that, too. Buck Belew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Shane Beamer on the Buck Belew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Stay cool, Atlanta. And stay classy, Atlanta. No booing Freddie Freeman tonight. Give him a standing ovation he's never going to forget. And make sure you jump on this 13th annual green card version 2.0. And it went on sale earlier this morning at 9 a.m. Go to 680thefan.com. And pick one up right now, and it's going to help you save some money. It's our 13th annual green card. We're going to hook you up with four rounds of golf and a cart, plus 90 minutes in a swing suite at Good Game Atlanta for only $199. That's a $420 value, dudes. Four rounds and 90 minutes of Good Game for just $199. And you can get your green card right now at 680thefan.com. Get a chance to go out and play some of these courses you hadn't played before, maybe. That's always fun. Tell you what's fun. It's watching the Braves win. And it was so awesome. Taking down the Giants, taking 3 out of 4. I love beating their manager for some reason. I don't know why. Just love it. Wouldn't mind beating up on the Dodgers, too. Let's chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
All right, we're going to need our pitchers, our Braves starters and relievers to cool off these L.A. Dodger bats. They come in here swinging it. Started their road trip with a sweep in Cincinnati. They scored 26 runs and had 42 hits in 3 games. And that's piling on, folks, is what that is doing. Trey Turner at the top of that lineup, 7-for-13 with 4 runs against the Reds. And then Freddie Freeman, red hot right now. 7-for-13 in the series in Cincy with 10 RBI in the 3-game. 10. And Justin Turner, 5-for-11, 3 runs scored. He also swinging a hot bat. So the Braves pitching staff got to cool or be careful with these 3 guys. Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, and Justin Turner. More on Freeman. He's hit in 7 straight games. He must be excited about coming back to Atlanta, swinging the bat like that. 3 multi-hit games in a row coming into tonight's game. As I mentioned, 11 RBI in his last 4 games. That's a lot. He has raised his season average up to 303, which is pretty impressive. You don't hear a lot of people talking about batting average anymore. 3 bombs in his last 4 games. Freddie Freeman's got it going on right now. He's going to get that World Series ring tonight. He's going to get a standing ovation he won't forget. I'm convinced of it. But hopefully this Braves pitching staff is going to cool him down. That would be awesome. And there you go. That's us chopping it up. Let's hear from Snit, by the way, while we chop it up, about the playoff atmosphere he's anticipating in this 3-game series with the Dodgers.
It's going to be crazy. I think the whole weekend's going to be nuts. You know, the Dodgers are here. It's a weekend, summer. It's, you know, probably be like playoff baseball.
Anybody got any tickets available? Man, I've had friends hitting me up left and right about tickets to the game tonight. And it's always about game one. They want to be there tonight when Freddie gets that standing ovation. Really hadn't had many people asking about Saturday or Sunday. Just tonight. Good luck finding a ticket. The series is there. They're going to be tough to come by. And that's us chopping it up. I wanted to dive in a little deeper, though, as we talk about Braves baseball here today on the show. And wanted to talk about Dansby Swanson, who led the way in the victory against the Giants yesterday. Led off the game, bottom of the first, with a bomb. Then he drove in a run, didn't he? Got hit by a pitch, drove in a run. That's the hard way right there. Take one for the team, they say. Then he comes up later in the game and goes deep again. Swanson, 3-for-4, 3 runs, 3 RBI. Swanson right now hitting 302 with 12 bombs, 41 RBI, 47 runs scored, and is a bona fide National League All-Star as we get closer and closer to the All-Star game out in Los Angeles. Dansby Swanson has got it going on. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Dansby and his contract situation. He's in the final year of arbitration and becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Just won his arbitration case with the Braves. Seager, $33 million a year. Lindor, $34 million a year. That's tier number one. Tier number two, you got Baez, $23 million a year. Trevor Story, $23 million a year. He just signed a 6-year, $140 million deal. Baez just signed a 6-year, $140 million deal. And I think those are those are pretty comparable to what Dansby and his representation will be looking for in the negotiations heading into next season. If the Braves do indeed allow him to just walk right into free agency at the end of the year, I'm scared about that. I want Dansby Swanson, I want him to remain the Braves shortstop for at least the next 6 years. So count me as a guy that wants to see Alex Anthopoulos and the Atlanta Braves not allow Dansby Swanson to walk at the end of the season and sign some big-time deal with some other organization. Now, the market value, as I just went through with you, is somewhere around 6 years, $133 million. We're talking $22, $23 million a year. So Dansby would be in that tier two category. Are the Braves going to give him that? And if so, why have they not tried to get that done already? Knowing that when you get one of these big timers that hit the open market, I mean, the chances are they're not coming back at that point in time. So I wonder if Alex Anthopoulos and Swanson's agent, who I believe is Freddie Freeman's agent. Oh, no! Oh, no! That concerns me. He's got Freddie's agent. My goodness. And I'll tell you what I love about Dansby Swanson is Dansby Swanson is a winner. And we don't talk about that enough. We talk about, you know, what the offensive numbers are and what the WAR stat says. You know, it's more about statistics. We're caught up in the statistics. Dansby Swanson, at the end of the day, he wants to win more than anything else. And as the leadership on this Braves team changed with Freddie signing with the Dodgers and walking out the door of that Braves clubhouse and not coming back, the leadership of this team changed. And let me tell you who the leaders are on this team. In my opinion, Dansby Swanson, and I believe Max Fried is another. And Fried winding down in his arbitration situation, too. Dansby Swanson showing up for one reason today. It's not to play long ball. It's not to improve his batting average. His focus is to come in here and kick the Dodgers' butt. And I love that about Dansby Swanson. An ultimate competitor. And that's the kind of guy you want leading your baseball team. Let's relive one of those home runs from yesterday's game and hear what Snit has to say about that leadership thing.
2-1 and a fly ball to deep left center field. This is heading back towards the seats, and another home run for Dansby. He just caved in the side of that baseball on his second home run of the ball game. That is now a 7-1 lead for the Braves, as this man has been on a tear here in the month of June.
It's kind of what you envisioned him doing when he came at a young age. And just thinking, you know, when this guy gets established, he can run that infield. Because he sees, I mean, he is thinking, he sees the game, he understands it, he's reading swings, he knows our pitchers. Now that he's been in the league so long, he knows the opposition really well. And it's really good to have that guy in the middle of the diamond that, with those attributes.
There's no doubt about it. Snit recognizes that. Swanson can hit. Swanson can field. An elite position at shortstop. We don't talk enough about that. Swanson wants to win in the worst way. Swanson is a team player. And Swanson is one of our own, playing at Marietta High School right down the street. They've got his jersey hanging up on the outfield fence. And the idea of Swanson not being with us next season scares the daylights out of me, because I don't think he's replaceable. I just don't. And he's got it going on right now, man. And it is fun to see. Let's get to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by George's Own Credit Union. How
Haug Law Group, Georgia Pack and Load, AAA, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Yeah, Kirby didn't tweet out Go Dogs yesterday. That was a little disappointing, I must admit. But I believe Georgia's in a really good shape. I mean, Arch verbally committed to Texas. That was huge news that came down, dropped yesterday afternoon. Had my oldest son, Braden, came in and said, Dad, you see the big news? Arch has committed to Texas. And he was waiting to see my reaction. And I didn't really have one. You know, it was a little disappointing because I'm a Georgia guy and would love to see him added to that quarterback room, but are we spoiled or not? I mean, our quarterback room is absolutely loaded over in Athens. I'm not sure there was enough room for a guy like Arch to slide in there. You know, the big question out there is what do the Dogs do now as far as the recruiting class of 2023? Do they chase another quarterback? I would guess right here, my educated guess would be not really. I mean, most of these top quarterbacks, top-rated quarterbacks are already taken. And I'm sure that Georgia will continue to recruit them and call them and stay in touch with them because you never know what might happen down the road. But are they going full speed ahead to try to lock down another quarterback in this 23 class? Probably not. For 3 years in a row now, they've signed one of the top quarterbacks coming out of high school. This quarterback room is loaded. Carson Beck, 4-star recruit, top 10 rated quarterback in the country in 2020. Georgia signed him. He's on campus, obviously. Then the very next year, you had Brock Vandegrift, 5-star rated quarterback, top 5 in the country in the 2021 class, signed with Georgia. And he's in the quarterback room. And then in the 2022 class, Gunnar Stockton, 4-star rated quarterback, top 7 rated quarterback in the country. Signed with Georgia, showed up early. He's in the quarterback room. So you got Beck as 3rd year on campus. Vandegrift, 2nd year on campus. Stockton, 1st year on campus. And so they miss out on Arch. Not really necessary to go out and chase down some other quarterback in this upcoming signing class. Not really necessary. Now, there's some guys out there, but they're going to have to flip them. South Carolina's got a verbal commitment from one of them here in Metro Atlanta. You know, as I see this thing playing out at Georgia, we've got Stetson Bennett back for year number 6. That's right, year number 6. He's a grown man in there. And he's going to have an awesome season this year. I just know it. Carson Beck's ready to play now. I mean, he is ready. If Stetson didn't get a 6th year, Georgia would be in great shape with Carson Beck stepping in, becoming the starter this particular season. I look at him as the best passer on the team, the biggest arm, the best passer. He's ready to play right now. He's ready to help you win. I would go out on a limb and just throw a number out. I think that Carson Beck is ready to be the starter at 80% of the teams in college football this year. And he's going to have to wait. But he's ready to help you win. And then you got Brock Vandegrift, who is entering year number 2 on campus, and he continues to develop. Gunnar Stockton, I know he's a heck of a football player, and it's really too early to tell where he is in his progression of becoming game ready to play at this elite level, but he's going to get there. Georgia's in great shape. So if you're a Bulldog fan, you're a little disappointed about Arch going to Texas, I wouldn't worry about it.
I agree with you, Buck. I think we're going to be just fine in the quarterback room, just as you laid out. Those 4 guys are going to carry us through the next few years, which would have overlapped with Arch. Do you think Arch finishes at Texas in today's world of the transfer portal?
As I look in the crystal ball, Road Dog, I think what happens is Arch helps Sarkisian jumpstart the recruiting base at Texas. They start getting more better players, and that Arch leads a revival to the Texas Longhorn football program, and he will be a trailblazer there and will solidify his status as one of the all-time greats at Texas. That's what I see happening there as they move into the SEC. That's going to be interesting. But Georgia's in really good shape quarterback-wise. So I wouldn't lose any sleep over that. I believe we had on the station, we had Rusty Manziel on, who's all over this recruiting scene. He was on Chuck and Chernoff yesterday, I believe it was, and commented on Arch being all in on Sarkisian.
Well, you also look at Steve Sarkisian's resume, and that's not hope. That's proof. So they're hoping that Steve Sarkisian can do what he's done in the past at Texas. So there's two different ways to look at that. But that decision wasn't made off hope. That decision was made, in my opinion, off Steve Sarkisian, offensive guy. Hey, this is what I have done, and this is what I've done with quarterbacks, and this was the end result.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you got to believe in somebody on this recruiting trail. And I tell you, way back when I was coming out, it was more about trust than anything else. And Vince Dooley was one of the few guys on the recruiting scene that I could trust. In fact, at the end of the day, he was the guy that I could trust. Vince Dooley, if he told you something, you could count on it. A lot of these other shysters were telling you anything to try to get you on campus. And I was always leery of these promises being made. In fact, I didn't believe any of them. Had one guy tell me I'd win the Heisman Trophy if I came to play for him. That was Pepper Rogers down at Georgia Tech. And I said, I was thinking to myself, I didn't say anything about it when he said this in front of my mom and dad on his in-home visit. Buck, you come to Tech, win the Heisman Trophy. And I was thinking to myself, dude, you're running the wishbone. The quarterback's not going to win the Heisman. And number two, I'm not really in on, the individual things. I want to win, and I want to win big. That's what I want to be a part of. Yeah, so those promises really didn't, they're sort of ringing hollow as I look back and remember some of that. And I write on it in the book I've got out, Inside the Hedges, and I write on a lot of this recruiting stuff that went down, and I was just glad it was over with at that point in time, and feel like I made the right decision, no doubt about it. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap things up. What's popping? We'll have a final word. Glad you're with us. This is the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Got the Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Fan apps driven by Beaver Toyota. Easiest and fastest way to shop online for your next car, visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com and see what WOW really means. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan is brought to you by the Haug Barron Law Group, your champions of personal injury law. If you need to win your personal injury case, go to championshiplaw.com. What do you say we see what's popping out there?
Let's find out what's popping.
What's popping? Well, you may have heard about the Hawks last night. They did not trade John Collins. We're all led to believe this was going to happen leading into the draft last night. I kept sitting there and waiting and watching and never heard anything. And I'll say, okay, is, you know, pick number 1, 2, 3, 4, on down to pick number 16 where the Hawks were selecting. I'm saying, okay, we're going to hear it now. We're going to hear it now. Oh, wait, we took A.J. Griffin? And then I thought, okay, it's the NBA draft, so you got to wait a little bit because they'll announce in about 10 minutes that, okay, they drafted A.J. Griffin for somebody else. And there was a deal done. No deal done. We get A.J. Griffin, who I believe has the potential to be a really good player. He's like 18 years old. And not exactly NBA ready. Like the guy we took a year ago. I mean, if we had a teenage league, we'd be in great shape. But A.J. Griffin, the guy, a power forward, which we'll need if John Collins moves on. Braves and Dodgers, 7:20 tonight. Ian Anderson, we're going to throw Ian at these guys, see if we can cool them off offensively. Urias, the lefty for the Dodgers. We just own lefties so far this year, so this will be entertaining. Four games back of the Mets starting tonight's action. We've won 18 of our last 21. College World Series matchup is set. Have you been paying attention? It's going to be Ole Miss and Oklahoma going at it. Sooners have just cut right through the postseason, 12-2 record. Since the postseason got underway, they've got two really hot bats and two quality starters that have gotten hot, and they've ridden these four players all the way to the championship, best 2 out of 3 series against Ole Miss, who barely made it to the NCAA tournament. I mean, there was a time during the SEC play, Ole Miss was 7-14. And then they got on a roll late in the season, man. And don't you know their fierce rival, Mississippi State, who won the Natty a year ago, they are cringing right now with the thought that Ole Miss could come back and win it the very next year.
Ole Miss did finish with a losing SEC conference record, 14-16, yeah. And now they're in the finals of the World Series.
Talk about getting hot at the right time. That's exactly what they did. And then a lot going on in golf, obviously. Players are up at TPC River Highlands in Connecticut playing the Travelers. This is one of the shortest tracks that they're going to play this season. I mean, I believe this course is playing like 6,800 yards to a par 70. Rory with an 8-under 62 yesterday. He, talk about playing good golf, he is going low. Course must not be too easy. Spieth shot a 75 yesterday. Found himself 13 shots back when he woke up this morning. I mean, the cut looks like it's going to cut somewhere like 6-under par. So, yeah, a little easier track at the Travelers this week. And that's what's popping out there. Have you heard about our podcast? Well, you hear all the 680 on-air hosts on our shows, and most of us have podcasts. Podcast Park will bring it to you. Check it out there. It's brought to you by Associated Credit Union. From Braves to Dogs to Falcons, we've got you covered. I've got Bucks Beat, episode 62 or 63. I forget exactly. I've got Jeff Francoeur on. We're talking Braves baseball again this week. I want to thank Mickey Himes and the Get Mickey team at Keller Williams for sponsoring Bucks Beat. You can find it at The Podcast Park or wherever it is you find your podcast. And don't forget, you got a chance to get $7 off a full-service oil change at Express Oil with the Braves winning that game yesterday 7-6. $7 off. Hey, man, it's $7. I take advantage of it. So that's going to do it for the show this week. Another productive week. Appreciate all the help we got from really a lot of the staff around 680 The Fan. Road Dog, man, good week this week. Nerney, we appreciate you. Acock, our intern, doing great work. Derek Thomas had to rest up today after a tough week. And great having Jordan D. Armand in the house this Friday. Jordan, great to see you.
As always.
Go Braves. Hope we put it on the Dodgers, and we're bragging about it on Monday. It's going to do it for the Baloo Show this week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.